Now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan joins Press Row. This segment of Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Test drive your dream vehicle today at 2136 Chapman Road. Kia of Chattanooga.
Well, it is always a pleasure to bring in the College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan, the former NC State quarterback, former Oklahoma offensive coordinator, successful head coach at Marshall and the University of Georgia. Our weekly fun with Coach Donnan brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road, 423-855-1022. Whether it's a Soul, Optima, Sorento, Sportage, Telluride, they have a fantastic selection and they are fantastic at working with you. Kia of Chattanooga. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. Can't wait to talk about those Auburn Tigers.
All right, well, let's get into the game that wasn't. You know, you go into that game realistically, and Auburn lost a lot on the offensive line. Auburn lost a lot on the defensive line. And Georgia said, we know you've lost a lot on both sides of the ball, and we're about to expose it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I think everybody was really a little bit too hard on Georgia about the first game and maybe – a little bit too nice about Auburn, about their win over Kentucky. But, you know, we lost a lot of good players on offense at Georgia, too. And I think just we could run the ball and they couldn't. That's the difference in the game.
You know what it reminded me of? Because you'll appreciate this. You had those 3 years in a row at Georgia where you beat South Carolina, and every game seemed like it was the same. I mean, it would be like 17-3, 24-9. You know, y'all never ran away and hid and scored 45 points, but they were never in the game really either. And that's what the Georgia-Auburn rivalry has become. The last four meetings have been by the average score of 26-9. It seems like the same movie over and over again, just like it did for you for a while there with South Carolina.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for them is they just can't – their offense it just has, to me, too much flavor to it from a standpoint of just trying to out-trick you instead of, you know, they just can't mash you at all. That's the biggest problem for them. And it's been a tendency for Coach Morris wherever he's been. He just – he loves to throw the ball, but you got to, if he was playing 7-on-7, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Let me ask you this, because Auburn has not really run the ball in two games now. How do you try to improve a running game in season?
Play Arkansas. I mean, that's going to help them. They're going against a team they ought to be able to run the ball on. They've destroyed them the last couple years. I don't know how much they're committed to running. I'm sure Gus got into the heads of everybody this week, and they're going to work hard. Looks like Tank Bigsby's a real deal. I mean, let's give him the rock and see what he can do.
All right, Jay, do you want to weigh in on that? Because we got a bunch of games to talk about from last weekend, but is there anything you want to ask the Hall of Famer about the nail-biter that was in Sanford Stadium?
Is Jay there today? I thought he'd still be in the field position. I'm glad. Has he come back or what?
You done yet?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, were you embarrassed Saturday or not?
No, I wasn't embarrassed. I was angry. I mean, I was frustrated.
It's your birthday. What do you expect?
I mean,
that was a good – Chad Morris gave you a gift-wrapped birthday present to chap your butt.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you done yet?
Yeah, let's go on with it. I had to do it once.
Are you done yet? Are we ready to turn the page?
Let's turn it.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Coach.
Do you have any more?
But hell no. Okay. I don't want to talk any more about that turn.
All right, let's move on to Tennessee. When you think about how they've had some pretty lean years up in Knoxville, that seemed like the first time in a while that they took a team that they were favored to beat and said, we're going to handle you offensively, we're going to handle you defensively, there will be no mystery to this game whatsoever. It seems like it's been a while since Tennessee's done that.
Yeah, I mean, the continuity is very much impressive that Tennessee has now. The fact that 2 years in a row, same D coordinator, 2 years in a row, same offensive coordinator. and they look a lot more well-oiled machine-type football team. Certainly, Missouri is not anything to write home about. I mean, they fired their coach last year, so they've got some issues. But it was a very workmanlike performance, and the thing that impressed me about Tennessee right now, which I hope they change on Saturday, is they're not beating themselves. They're not getting foolish penalties. They're not having turnovers. And that's been the difference for them. They don't have a lot of explosive plays, but they certainly are very good at running the ball and very good at, you know, Garantano's doing a good job of finding his receivers. And defensively, they don't exert a lot of pressure on you, not a lot of sacks, but they don't give up a lot of big plays either. So we'll talk more about that game with Georgia in a minute. But overall, I mean, they've got to be among the most improved teams in the league over the last couple of years.
Coach, you just mentioned something right there that I'm really curious about, especially from your perspective as a head coach. When you lose both coordinators like Ed Orgeron did this past year, and this even this isn't any, it would be in a normal season, never mind all the corona crap. If you lose both coordinators, how big of – I mean, that has to be the most tumultuous offseason a head coach can imagine, right?
Well, you know, sometimes you lose them because you fire them, but if you lose them to good jobs like they did, Aranda got the head job at Baylor, the D coordinator, and the passing game coordinator, Joe got that job with the offensive coordinator with the Carolina Panthers. But the biggest difference for LSU to me is they just lost so many players. I mean, particularly on defense, don't look like the same team to me. And offensively, they don't have any cohesiveness in their passing game. I mean, when you have 10 drop passes on the year, that's a lot of drop balls right now. I mean, last year, Pickens and Blaylock between them for Georgia didn't drop a pass. So everything that was going hunky-dory for them last year is a little bit different with different coordinators.
Sounds like they got a bunch of 11, 12-year-old boys up there. Got a lot of drop balls.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
You're listening to the College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Coach, all right, Mississippi State, 2 weeks in, you've got a win over the defending national champions, and you've got a loss at home to a team that had lost 19 consecutive league games. What do you make of the two Mike Leach games so far this year?
Pretty much his MO over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, a lot of big wins and a lot of tumultuous losses. I looked up today on the internet that how everything went for him last year out there at Washington State. But when you take into account the two games he's had here, he's 4-8 in his last 12 games. So that's not a real good record for any coach, but he's going against his old team up there, the one where he got the air raid started up at Kentucky. And the thing that's killing them is they had 5 turnovers in 2 games now, interception-wise. And last week, their war daddy running back, Hill, who I think is among the better players in the country, got hurt. And he's the kind of guy that catches those short passes and then makes good explosive runs with them. And they weren't able to do that because Arkansas dropped 8, made them throw the ball in front of them, and they couldn't do it. And I understand he's going to play Saturday, so that makes them a lot better chance to win that game with Hill in the lineup.
All right, Jim, I wrote about this earlier this week. When you think about the SEC has a lot of unexpected starting quarterbacks. I mean, if you go back a year or two, I mean, Mac Jones at Alabama was supposed to be the guy that was just kind of a safety net when they transitioned from Tua Tagovailoa to his little brother, Talia Tagovailoa. You think about Kyle Trask. I mean, he was a career backup in high school. He was a backup to Felipe Franks. Franks gets hurt. We know how Trask did. And then Franks winds up leaving because Trask does so well. And then the wildest of them all, Stetson Bennett. I mean, here's a guy who backed up Jake Fromm last year, but when Fromm leaves, you know, they bring in Jamie Newman, they bring in JT Daniels, Dwan Mathis has the good preseason, and this guy goes from, like, second string or first string to third or fourth string. What do you think about all these quarterback situations? Because I think a lot of them are taking folks by surprise.
Yeah, you just get down to the old saying, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Every one of those guys has had a chance to filter in the program, know what to do, get a lot of reps, And then when they got their shot, they took advantage of it. Jones last year when Tua goes down, Trask when Felipe goes down, and now Bennett here when Georgia started off a little bit cold and, Jamie left and opted out. And JT Daniels at the it was not cleared. So I still think Dwan has a real good upside here at quarterback, and JT does too, but people don't realize what kind of arm this guy's got. He's got an elite. I'm talking about E-L-I-T-E, elite arm, very accurate, and it's got the mobility. He's just a little bit shorter than, a guy like Murray, who was not their tallest quarterback, but reminds me a lot of Murray's ability to throw the ball down the field. And he'll be hard to unseat now because he knows what to do. He gives the offense a lot of weapons from the standpoint he can call the plays at the line of scrimmage. And the number one thing is the players have got a tremendous, tremendous respect for his ability and the way he goes about his business. So I can see him being the quarterback here, not only this year, but next year too.
All right, it's time for a Shara Donnan story. What was kind of the wildest quarterback situation you had to deal with? Was it the year that Quincy beat out everybody?
No, the toughest one I had to do is to call Troy Aikman into my office and say, "Hey, Troy, you need to transfer." I mean, come on, man. Number one draft choice, Hall of Fame, college and pro. But Troy broke his leg, and we went to the wishbone out there and won the national championship. And I just said, "Troy, we've got too much invested in this wishbone now, and nobody knows what to do about it in the Big 12, Big 8 back then, and it'd be to your advantage to go on and leave." And he agreed. But it was still a very emotional time because I was tight with the guy, and I've stayed in touch with him. But you just don't normally tell a guy with his ability that he probably needs to go to another school.
That's interesting. Could he see that? Could he sense that coming, though, because it is such a dramatic shift to the wishbone?
Well, I don't think he could see it because we were doing all the stuff with him, and we were doing really well. You know, he beat Texas and Kansas State, and then he breaks his leg against Miami, and then we go on that heck of a run with Jamel, and Troy's ready to play in the Orange Bowl if we needed him. We were going to use him because we didn't know what we were going to be able to do against Penn State. We might have to throw. But after that, he realized it, and it was a tough deal, but it was the best thing for him.
If you look back on your career, Coach, which is more important to you, the national championships or getting in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, I think national championship is nothing like a team reward. Individual things don't bother me. They're not that big for me. Although it's a great tribute to a kind of a consummate thing because there's so few guys in it. And a lot of mine was for being an assistant coach and for coaching in 1AA. But we did have a dominant team. But winning those championships, we won two national championships, and we really had a chance at three others, and maybe four others. But you know, sometimes the best team doesn't win. But winning national championships, the ultimate.
That said, though, I missed, because of COVID, I missed those trips to the Butts Mirror on Mondays when I'm walking down that hallway. Because if there's one thing we all have in common, Coach, you, me, and Jay, we all got big noggins. And I miss seeing your noggin on that wall.
Well, I got one up there now. They got a picture of all the coaches and players in there. I don't know. They let you walk down in that area, but
I'm talking about the Hall of Fame one, the college, when they have the hallway that says Georgia alums in the Hall of Fame, or not alums, but former Georgia coaches and players in the Hall of Fame, and there you are.
Yeah, it's on the first floor now.
Yeah.
They don't let you on that, though,
do they? No. I walk on that one all the time.
Come on, Coach. That's David Pascal.
I've got seniority. I go back to the Donnan era. That's all I got to tell people.
He's not some hack like Jay Greason. That's David Pascal.
You still let him – they still use that same pass I gave you to walk anywhere you want. You know, where they let you go anywhere you want. But I do have a extra large head. You got to have something to accommodate these brains.
All right, that wraps up a look at last week, and when we come back, we'll take a look at a massive top 15 showdown between the hedges. back with the College Football Hall of Famer in this segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
This segment of Press Row has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, award-winning vehicles and courteous, honest service. Kia of Chattanooga.